Well, it was not the outcome that Dub Nation wanted. I don't think it was the outcome anyone with the Golden State Warriors wanted. The Warriors' 10-game home winning streak is snapped. Kylan Mills and I are going to break that down. We're going to talk about the week to come, a huge Saturday marquee matchup that could be revealing for where the Warriors stand in terms of their world championship aspirations. We're breaking it down next. It's live. It's Kylan. It's me. It's Locked On Warriors.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. You can follow Kylan Mills on Twitter and Instagram. And I think, I don't know what else, at Kylan Mills. You can
TikTok.
Follow me and TikTok and yes. TikTok at Kylan Mills. You can follow me on Twitter at Dog Surfer Ocho. I got the wrong background here going. There we go. It's a live show today. Kylan, how are you doing? And give us your first reaction to the Warriors' 10-game winning streak snapped by the Pacers at home.
I'm doing well today, Cyrus. I'm trying to think of how I can like sum up my thoughts about last night's game. To me, it's very apparent right now, and this doesn't really necessarily have to do with that game alone. It's not an indictment on the Warriors' performance solely last night. But to me, it really is apparent that the Warriors need another big on this roster who can run with the second unit. And Kevon Looney didn't get a lot of run last night, only 14 minutes, because he struggles against stretch bigs. And there's no question that Kevon Looney is not the quickest defender. And when he goes up against some guys like that, I think he struggles. And then Draymond Green has to pick up some of those minutes, and then who fills the minutes when Draymond Green isn't on the floor? And that to me is where some of the Warriors' smaller lineups can get burned and just get, you know, beat up inside. And that's why last night it just kind of, as I was thinking about the game, that's one thing that dawned on me, or that really was apparent to me, was that the Warriors need to pick up another big. I do believe that in order for them to be contenders. They were planning on having James Wiseman providing the extra rim protection, being a true center in the second unit. And to me, he's just not ready. And I don't think he'll be ready this season, which is fine. Nothing against Wiseman. I think that he just needs more time. Some people are calling for him to be traded. I mean, I think he still has the chance to be a strong and successful NBA player, but he's just not there, even close to there. And I think the Warriors front office was banking on that, and him being able to provide that extra rim protection and that presence in the second unit. And without him, like, there were a couple times, I think you tweeted this out, Cyrus, where the Warriors were running really small lineups, like really small. What was the one that you called out specifically? I think it was like Steph, DiVincenzo. Kuminga was maybe the only big on the floor at one point, because I remember you tweeted it out, and I also thought, you know, the same thing when I was watching, was that it was like Steph, DiVincenzo, Moody, Kuminga, and I can't remember who was the fifth.
It was even worse than that. Kuminga didn't come in until, and we'll touch on that in just a minute. I see in the chat here, someone brought up, I think this was, and again, we're live if you want to engage with us. Yo writes that Kerr tried to give Kuminga the DNP until he saw how bad the team was doing. Let's talk about that. We will in just a minute. What you're referring to, and it was weird. Kerr had a lineup in the first quarter where it was correct. You were mostly right. It was Steph, Moses Moody, who he gave some minutes to in the first half. We never saw him again. DiVincenzo, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson. That was the five. So the tallest player out there was Klay Thompson at 6'7". He was, I mean, I don't know if he's your center. I mean, I guess Draymond's your center, but then who's the, is there even a forward on the floor at that point? I mean, keep in mind, Draymond Green was drafted as a small forward. That was ludicrous. I do not understand what was going on there, but that was the lineup. Yeah, it was.
I think though, right when they made that substitution, it initially was Kuminga in the game with that exact lineup, and then Green. I don't know if they made a couple subs, and then it was Green. But initially, I thought at first, like, is Kuminga the center? And then you're right, it was Draymond Green who came in.
And then they subbed Draymond for Jermichael Green, but they kept the other four in there. Yeah, it was weird. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but yeah, that's
no. I needed that information because I couldn't remember off the top of my head. But yeah, it was weird. But the problem is that when there are games where Kevon Looney is ineffective, like, how do you fill the void both at the center position, at the forward position? Like, the Warriors just are super guard heavy and they don't have a lot of bigs. And when Kevon Looney is ineffective against quicker centers or stretch bigs, then who do they have to fill the gap? And I just feel like they need one more big. I personally would like to see a true center on this roster. I know a player that you brought up, though, who I do think is really nice would be potentially PJ Washington, who is a four. I don't think he would hurt the Warriors at all. But to me, they need another forward center of some sort.
That game last night was very disappointing. I mean, look, Wiggins wasn't playing, which was a huge part of it. He was noticeably absent. But I'm with you. I'm going to wait till next week because I want to do a State of the Union show where we just really break down position by position where the Warriors stand. Because last night was a 25 game mark, and 25 games is a large enough sample size where you can start providing some legitimate evaluations, critiques, and again, I'm going to wait till next week because the Pacers, I will say this, last night's game, even though it was colossally disappointing, sports is weird in the sense that sometimes certain teams just have ownership over other teams or players. Like Tom Brady last night, for example, beat the Saints, I think for the first time ever in his entire career. And he's 45 years old. The Saints had his number until last night. The Pacers weirdly also have the Warriors number when it comes to games at Chase Center. The Warriors have never beaten the Pacers in San Francisco. I think the last time they beat the Pacers in California was like 2018 or 2019. I don't know. Some teams just have other teams' numbers. Steph had his worst game of the season, right? His lowest scoring output of the year. It was bad though, Kylan. I mean, were there any positives? Let's start with there. Did you see any positives from the Golden State Warriors in that 112-104 loss that, again, it was ugly. There's no doubt about that. Was there anything you were happy about?
I mean, Klay Thompson finally was in rhythm, and I thought he was doing a better job with his shot selection. He played pretty well. He shot pretty well, 50% from beyond the arc, putting up 28 points to lead the team on a night when Steph Curry was really struggling, couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat. So, and I think that Thompson ended up having one of the top plus minuses. So that just shows to me that he was positively impacting the game versus some of the struggles that we've seen from him recently. So I thought it was a positive that Klay Thompson put up some big numbers. And, you know, he's a player that absolutely the Warriors need to start really finding a rhythm if they want to be successful down the stretch of the season. So I think that's a good thing moving forward. And the more, you know, positive performances Klay Thompson puts together, the better. Another positive for me was off the bench. I really thought Dante DiVincenzo did a nice job. He finished the night, I believe, with three steals. And I just love his activity on defense. He reads the game really well, both offensively and defensively. He has great hands. He's pretty quick. I think he makes good decisions. He's a good playmaker. So I thought Dante DiVincenzo looked really good. And a lot of times there's games where he doesn't necessarily put up a ton of numbers. He doesn't stuff the stat sheet, but I think that he does positively impact the game and some of those other intangibles that I just talked about. But last night he did manage to put up 10 points, pulled in 7 rebounds. Again, the 3 steals I thought was huge. He had 1 steal, I remember, late in the game that helped kind of close the gap. And so I thought his performance with the second unit was good. And I have thought that throughout the season that I like Dante DiVincenzo. I think he was a good add to this roster.
Yes.
It was pretty bad. I'm trying to think of other positives here.
Well, one positive was you brought up Clay. I want to play the soundbite because I believe last night he moved up to 13th on the all-time list for three-pointers made.
Yeah.
He passed Dirk Nowitzki. And here was Clay when asked about the significance of moving up on that list.
Clay, you've mentioned in the past, just with missing so much time, how much more you just appreciate the moment, appreciate the games. Right. Does it make it even more meaningful when you pass names like Dirk Nowitzki and Jason Kidd on an all-time list?
Oh, yeah. What? Grew up loving both those guys, especially Dirk as a shooter and Jay Kidd just as a baller, Bay legend. It means a lot to me. I don't take that for granted. Two of the all-time greats right there. So that means a lot to me.
Yeah. So, and again, I went to the game last night. It was my first game in a while just because my teaching schedule has been crazy. And when Clay hit that third three in a row, Chase Center erupted. It was such a reminder of just the power Clay has in terms of energizing, you know, an arena of 20,000 people. Still had a solid game, had 28 points. I think he was 8 of 16 from 3, but it wasn't enough. And we're going to talk about that and so much more. And obviously, Jonathan Kuminga and the rotations were a major issue. And I actually asked Steve Kerr about that, so I'll play that soundbite. First, I got to give some love to Turo. That's what today's show is brought to you by. And in this climate we're in, post-pandemic, it's hard to find vehicles. There's been a chip shortage, which has resulted in a car shortage. If you've tried to buy a new car in the last few years, I'm sure you've realized it's not an easy thing to do. And this extends to rental cars, extends just to any form of travel with a vehicle. It's a lot harder now. And that's where Turo comes into play. They're the world's largest car sharing marketplace. With Turo, you can book any car you want, wherever you want it, from a community of local hosts. There's a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or budget across the United States, the United Kingdom, Canada, and Australia. Book a spacious SUV or minivan for a family road trip. Get a classic or luxury car for a special event, birthday, or holiday. You can test drive that new electric vehicle that you've been thinking about buying. Many Turo hosts can even deliver the car right to you. Every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply. Forget boring rental cars and find your drive at Turo.com.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen today. After us, check out Locked On Sports Today, from the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports. Go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with local experts and insights only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today, available on this app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow Kylan Mills on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Kylan Mills. So last night I asked Steve Kerr about Jonathan Kuminga. I thought it was incredibly sus that, I'm using like kid language now. It was incredibly suspect that on a night when Wiggins was not playing, we talked about that diminutive lineup that they had out there where Klay Thompson was essentially your center. That was really weird. A lot of people were asking, I think anyone who watches the Warriors closely had this thought in their mind, where is Jonathan Kuminga? Where is a player who's 6'8", athletic, who they've been playing at times at the five? I had that question myself. And so here is what Steve Kerr had to say to that question. Okay, here we go. Thank you. Here's the question I asked Kerr about Jonathan Kuminga.
Coach, speaking of Kuminga, you've been bringing him in the first quarter lately, but tonight with Wiggins out, you waited till around the 8-minute mark of the second quarter. I was just wondering if you could elaborate on why it took so long to bring him in.
Well, we wanted to get some shooting on the floor, so we went to Moses before we went to JK and Lamb as well. So it just, with Wiggins out, it just changed the rotation.
So not a really direct answer. Did your door just close? What's going on? You got ghosts in your house? What's going on behind you over there?
Ghosts just closed the door.
Hi, Charlie. So what your reaction to the fact that Kerr waited until the 8-minute mark approximately of the second quarter and his rather indirect answer, because more shooting, the offense had one of the worst nights of the season. Yeah, your thoughts on Kuminga not coming in until the 8-minute mark.
I understand that he wanted to get Moses Moody in there, which I like getting Moody in earlier in the rotations because he was hitting his threes the other night. So, you know, potentially to spark something and to get something going. But I do agree. I think that Jonathan Kuminga needed to get in earlier in the game. However, I noticed someone in the chat was mentioning that like Moody's defense was off last night. Moody ended up coming out after just 8 minutes and didn't go back in the second half. And someone mentioned Moody being in the wrong spots, just not being sharp on rotations or something along those lines in the chat. And, you know, I was just thinking, though, I hate to bring up your favorite player, Cyrus.
Bring it up. I won't go. I'm done ranting about Lamb.
So I do think that Anthony Lamb was out of position a lot defensively last night. To me, his pick and roll defense was exposed last night. I noticed him doing a lot over helping. Just not being in the right spot when it came to rotations and lingering too long on the pick and roll and getting exposed on the cut. And so to me, I don't know why he gets so much of a longer leash than some of the young players to make those mistakes. So that's one thing that I do feel like I wish Kerr gave Moody and Kuminga a little bit more leeway to make some mistakes, or to, you know, when they potentially aren't playing great, to give them another opportunity to try to, you know, get it together and to get more time. Okay, so toast to go. I don't disagree, though. I don't disagree that I think both Kuminga and Moody have times where they're not where they need to be defensively. But to me, like last night, I don't know why I kept noticing. I'm like, Anthony Lamb is not where he's supposed to be. He's not where he's supposed to be on rotations. And there's a couple where he's just out of position, or like I said, he lingers a little too long on the pick and roll. And to me, that ended up being exposed last night. I don't know if it was just more glaringly obvious, or, you know, just what the Pacers were doing. But I just feel like in general, and someone else pointed out in the chat, that some of the veterans get just so much more leeway to make the same mistakes as the young players do, which I think is interesting. And I think against the Pacers, we could have definitely seen the young players get more time.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir. You know what the crazy part is? I wasn't actually cringing at the idea of Lamb playing last night. He didn't play good. There's no doubt about that. But they had no one else. I was like looking at, like, you're right, this is a very small team. They had no bigs. I mean, JaMychal Green. Some people are starting to really hate on JaMychal Green. What are your thoughts on JaMychal? Like, some games he looks great as a backup center. Some games he looks awful. And last night, there were the Pacers, who are a very athletic, I think a very dangerous team. They came out and just really lit up this Warriors team. But there was players like Isaiah Jackson. There were players like Jalen Smith. We'll get into Andrew Nembhard in a second, because that was ridiculous what he did to the Warriors. But those two players athletically were just lighting the Warriors up. I mean, I don't know how many alley-oops I saw. I don't know how many put-back dunks I saw. You know, and again, like last time was one of those nights where, like, I wasn't cringing horribly at Anthony Lamb playing, because it's like, who else do you have on that roster who can give you size? And it sucks that Lamb is like your option. He's 6'5". You're right. He had a horrible game last night. He was taking horrible, bad shots. His defense, he was out of position routinely. But what are your thoughts on JaMychal Green? Because if JaMychal Green is not an answer as a backup center, this team's screwed. They have to make a move. There's like no doubt. They have to make a move if they want to repeat as world champion. But so is JaMychal Green savable? Like, what are your thoughts on him?
I don't know. I just feel like JaMychal Green is very inconsistent. Like right now, there's some nights where I'm like, hey, okay, I feel like he had a good night. He took good shots. Sometimes he can hit from outside potentially. You know, can he spread the floor? And then other nights, I just don't think he looks great. And I honestly don't feel confident with him as the backup center. Like, I do not. And I think against some of the more athletic, more physical teams, like the thought of playing against the Memphis Grizzlies, for example, like, that concerns me right now. And I just think the Warriors need more rim protection that JaMychal Green does not provide. And that's where I think they need to bring someone in. Someone did point out in the chat, though, that Bob Myers doesn't like to make midseason trades, which is true.
Yeah.
Don't know how he's going to deal with this void moving forward. I mean, there is still an opportunity to just sign someone. Okay, so Cyrus, I know you brought up Dwight Howard. I actually like potentially signing DeMarcus Cousins to some type of vet minimum.
Not against it. Not against it.
He, you know, he's played with the Warriors before. Yes, he was on the decline, but still he was putting up like 9 points and 6 or 7 rebounds a night in his, you know, last season. So I wouldn't hate seeing him come back. Anyone. I don't feel confident with JaMychal Green as our backup center at this point. I don't feel confident that James Wiseman is going to be ready come the postseason. So to me, like, the Warriors have to make a move.
I wholeheartedly agree. And when we come back, I want to talk about Andrew Nembhard, because he just ate up the Warriors alive. And not only the why of that needs to be addressed, but look, he's a second round pick who is a rookie, and the Pacers are doing a phenomenal job developing these young players. And when you see a performance like that, and then you see what the Golden State Warriors are doing with their young players, it raises eyebrows, certainly raises questions. We'll talk about that in just a moment. First, got to give some love to Bet Online, and more specifically, betonline.net. There is our beautiful overlay. And again, betonline.net is your number one source for sports betting information, stats, news, and analysis. You can get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from football to basketball to soccer and esports. They've got it all at betonline.net. And I'm very curious. The line is obviously not out yet, but I'm going to be very curious to see what the line is for this Saturday's Warriors-Celtics game. Again, the first national Saturday ABC telecast of the season. I'm super pumped for that. I want to see if there's a line available yet for the Warriors and Jazz, who play tomorrow in Utah, and there is not. What would you guess the line will be for that game? Because the Jazz have kind of come back down to earth a little bit. Do you think the Warriors will be favored on the road in Utah? What are your thoughts on that game?
Because the Warriors struggles on the road, I bet you the line comes out with the Jazz getting a couple points.
But I would agree with that. I agree. I think it's going to be like -3 for the Jazz. Well, you'll find out soon enough.
Yeah, I would guess like -2 or -3.
Yeah, yeah. And again, you'll find out soon enough. Just go to betonline.net. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. Bet Online, it's where the game starts.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. Andrew Nembhard completely ate up the Warriors. I want to first play, I'll play this sound clip from Dante DiVincenzo. We both thought he played a great game. You know, I was watching him during pregame shoot around, and I thought his shooting stroke was fantastic. He had a good game, by the way, overall, besides his defense, which is always clutch. Had 10 points, 4-for-7 shooting, 1-for-3 from beyond the arc, which is not bad. It's the Mendoza line. And had 7 rebounds, which was actually very impressive. But again, when it comes to defending Andrew Nembhard, that was a disaster. And the rookie ate them up. And here is DiVincenzo talking about defending the rookie.
What do you think the problem was kind of team-wide containing Nembhard, especially down the stretch?
Yeah, he got it going. I think it goes, you know, it goes back to the first half. Like I said, when things are going your way and you're one of those teams that, you know, you're counted out from the beginning, your confidence builds, and then second half comes and you see a couple more go in, and I don't even know how many finished with tonight, but 31? Yeah, like, he was hooping. And I think that starts in the first half from us. I think we got to, you know, the guards got to get into him a little bit more. They got to feel us a little bit more, and not let him get, you know, how many attempts? Yeah, like 21 attempts. That's a lot of attempts. So I think that's the difference.
First of all, where's that message that I'm looking for here? Because I saw something. Oh, they're a beautiful child. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. I'm single. Let me know what's up if you're a female. Was that bad? I saw something else. Whatever, who cares? What are your thoughts on Andrew Nembhard? He had a ridiculous game. I saw something, some stat where his numbers all time, I think in terms of like points, assists, like rebounds, I got to look at the stat up, but it was like some sort of ridiculous number where the only other player in NBA history to have a night like Andrew Nembhard, who in 41 minutes of play had 31 points, 13 assists, 8 rebounds, hit 5 3-point shots. It was outrageous. It was outrageous. He even had a steal. And I saw some stat where it said the only other player who's reached these numbers was LeBron James back in like 2018. And the Warriors had no answer for him. I hope I'm correct saying this. I think Andrew Nembhard is their backup point guard because Haliburton wasn't playing. That's absurd. And again, I was at the game and he was just crushing the whole energy of Chase Center. Just shot after shot after shot. The Warriors have an issue clearly with perimeter defense, and not having Andrew Wiggins out there, I think, played a huge part in that. But a lot of it was energy, which the Warriors were not bringing. I don't know. What did you see out there that allowed Nembhard, again, a player who was a second round pick in this most recent draft for the Indiana Pacers? What did you see that allowed this to happen? I mean, what, did anything stick out to you, Kylan? Your thoughts on Nembhard's ridiculous night?
I like Nembhard. I thought he was great. I watched him a couple seasons when he played at Gonzaga. He also played, down in Florida at Florida. And first of all, I think that it is a major asset when you do have rookies who come in with collegiate experience. And that's where you see players like him just be heads and tails above where some of the Warriors young players are at. James Wiseman only playing in 3 games collegiately. Jonathan Kuminga skipped college and played in the new experimental G League Ignite developmental team, but that G League Ignite team doesn't play even a full G League season, and the G League season is abbreviated, or just not as long as the NBA season to begin with. So you're talking about players who just are coming in with not a lot of experience. And I do think it's important that, players get that collegiate experience to help kind of bridge the gap between high school and the NBA, because a lot of players just aren't going to be completely ready for what the NBA, how tough the NBA is. And so I do think it makes a difference when you've got players like that who have that experience. He played, several seasons in college. I think that makes a difference. I thought he read the game well. He's extremely smart. I mean, he was hitting shots left and right, even when the Warriors were putting him under pressure. I mean, it was just ridiculous. He went 5 for 7 from 3. He couldn't miss. He was everywhere. He brought a lot of energy. And I mean, honestly, it was fun to watch if it weren't for the fact that he was destroying the Golden State Warriors. But I do think that the Warriors lacking an answer had a lot to do with Andrew Wiggins being out. I think to me, that would have made a huge difference in trying to shut someone down who's going off. But as far as the Warriors' defensive issues, though, I don't even know if there's one thing I can point to, because to me, I mentioned Anthony Lamb being out of position, some of the Warriors' young players, Moody Kuminga being out of position. I mean, yeah, that's all a factor, but just, I don't know. Defensively, this season hasn't been great for the Warriors, so it's not, a huge surprise, and it's hard to point to one thing. But I think someone also mentioned in the chat that it's frustrating. It seems like every team the Warriors play against, it's like some random player goes off and has an outlandish shooting night. And, I think it's a combination of teams getting up to play the Warriors because, like, this is it for them. They're playing against the defending NBA champions. And I also think it's a combination of the Warriors perimeter defense really struggling. And like I said, I felt like positioning was off last night too. Rotations just not being sharp, people not closing out because they weren't where they were supposed to be. And so I think it's a combination of both those things that, teams are getting up for the Warriors in addition to the Warriors perimeter defense just not being at the place it was at last season.
Yeah. In just a moment, for the people watching this live, stay tuned. I'm just going to play a quick open because we're going to record this as a two-parter. For those watching the recording of this, click on the next show. There will be a part 2. This is Locked On Warriors.